listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Indeed you are. I am Michael Sterling.
And I don't want any more stuffing. Sweet Christ on his throne. Stop making me eat, Sterling.
It was one of those Thanksgivings,
was it? Yeah. It was, yes.
So you were with your lovely wife, Monica.
I was with my lovely wife and a number of friends and partook in lots of turkey and a tad too much solace in the grape.
Oh, well,
as
I figured as much.
Yes.
That's norm. That's for
norm.
You.
Norm. Oh, norm for me?
Yeah,
you're
norm
saying
for
I'm a lush? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not a lush.
Normal for you to be laying in your own sick, Paul. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent, agents, as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit at BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our weekly live arts calendar.
And joining us in studio, he starred as Bob, help me with the pronunciation, Michael, Bob Gaudio.
I think so.
In the Tony and Grammy Award-winning Jersey Boys as part of the Los Angeles, San Francisco, First National Tour, and Las Vegas companies. His extensive credits will soon include the upcoming holiday party at the Coterie at the Hollywood Renaissance Hotel, which we're looking forward to hearing about from the man, the legend, Mr. Eric Bergen.
Nice. Thank you.
Thank you
Good
so
night.
Much. Yes, thank you. And if you could refrain from nodding, Eric.
Just, me?
Yes. You don't nod loud enough on
you
the radio.
Can you not hear this? Wait, if you focus in, you can hear.
Yes,
there
you
it
can
is.
Hear it. Yeah.
There
is
it
that is. Or do you have that jaw thing?
Isn't we don't it? Talk about that on the radio.
Okay. Also joining us, ladies and gentlemen, in the studio, he may be best known for his two seasons on Logo's Big Gay Sketch Show from now until December 18th, he will be taking a preemptive strike against holiday sentimentality as a disgruntled elf. Please welcome Paolo Andino.
Hello.
Hello.
How are
you? Paolo, you get similar applause. Wait, no, Paolo does not get double applause.
Oh,
that
yeah.
is not fair.
See what happens
applause.
When you don't nod?
I just want to say I had a very Gaga Thanksgiving.
You had a
really?
You had a very
did anyone else?
Yes, I did.
You had a Gaga Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Did you see her special? Did you happen to?
I did not.
Did not.
I did not.
It was very good, except when she decided to. She said there was not enough verses to Irving Berlin's White Christmas, and she said,
yeah.
So I wrote my own, and then proceeded to, and what not like parody lyrics, but like her own lyrics to
really?
White Christmas.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, we gotta find that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was
how many people would approach?
Somewhere Irving Berlin is going,
Yes, that's, that spinning sound is Irving's grave.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the second verse was about a snowman with
hanging out with crying snowmans.
Yeah, and a carrot, you know, a carrot nose, and that's
why
what
not?
She wanted, like as a boyfriend or something like that. I don't know.
Really?
It goes a little something like this.
5, 6, 7, 8.
I'm dreaming.
Did I get that right?
Wait a minute. Lady Gaga had a stroke.
Were you not aware?
No, I did. Was not.
She had a Thanksgiving special, which was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
See, now, the way you just said that, where are you from originally?
I'm a Cuban from Miami.
You're a Cuban from Miami because you do something
that
my wife does. I'm a Cuban from Miami.
What is she?
Yeah. What are the odds?
Latin from Manhattan.
The beginning of Thanksgiving. My wife does that too. She says things like,
"What?
It was a great Thanksgiving," which is an unusual emphasis. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
I think the word you're looking for would be wrong.
No, no.
I put a different emphasis on the wrong syllable.
No, yes,
is
it was just like you just said.
I might have
thanks
done.
You. And my wife does that too.
What's that?
Because she says, let's
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's going to be on
now
the
we're going
TV.
Yeah.
A boot.
Exactly. No, I wasn't sure because it just popped a little in my head.
What I tend to do a lot is to say things like, you know, seat down or things like that, like a Spanish accent. Sometimes it slips out.
Oh, does it really?
Or sleeps out, you know, like else things like that.
My father is Italian, and he still says certain words phonetically to know how to spell them. So he said, we went to the luau, and they had the fresh-cut pineapple. which is pineapple. And the fresh cut pineapple, it was wonderful. That's the other thing. People is another one. People. There were so many people. So many people.
Right.
Anyway, just my unusual clan.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Father. How was your Thanksgiving, Michael?
It was lovely, actually. It was kind of normal on the normal side. We went to a beautiful restaurant, however, up in the hills here in the San Fernando Valley, overlooking the whole valley. A very beautiful place called Castaways.
Oh,
have you been?
I have not.
Have you? You'll
no,
you're
I have
a newbie
not.
To Los Angeles. You'll get there.
I used to park cars there.
Not did there. You? Really? Oh. So you were that guy.
Yes, that was me.
That was very nice.
And I rent out the back seats while people dine. Yes, that's what I do.
Okay. But but very nice with family and, you know, it was just a lovely day off. It was the only day off I had, but the rest was, at the nightclub and out to see theater and to see this gentleman, Paolo Andino, in the opening of his show.
Yeah.
And going to catch up with Eric here. As well, talking about shows.
Sure.
Speaking of shows.
Yeah.
Because he's doing, like, what, 9 right now?
He's
how many
doing,
shows are
you I'm actually doing a show at this minute.
Yeah, I could tell. Maybe you could put your focus on us.
Oh, sorry. I'm back. I'm here.
He's concepting his
but,
next show.
Your Thanksgiving, Mr.
Redoing my sentence, Paul.
My Thanksgiving was fine, but as you know, I'm not about Thanksgiving. I'm about the day after. Next Thanksgiving, I'm going to cook everything on the Wednesday and just have leftovers on Thanksgiving.
Oh, it's better the next day.
Oh, far better.
Yeah,
that's a good
far
idea.
Better. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know? And then you don't have any stress about cooking on that day because I tell you, the tryptophan thing, the turkey thing, Monica and I are eating the leftovers. And apparently, unbeknownst to me, you know, we do leftovers in front of the TV, you know, on the floor, a little tray thing. And some stuff, you know, we ate and then she took the plates and put them away and came back. We continued to watch TV. And there's a piece of stuffing on my shirt.
Oh, sure.
That just had fallen there. And she's like, there's stuffing on your shirt. And then it occurred to both of us that from the time that she took the plates away to the point that she discovered the stuffing on my shirt was 25 minutes. So I had the tryptophan affected me so severely that I was so comatose that an errant piece of stuffing could stay on my shirt for 25 minutes and not fall off.
But did you eat it?
Of course.
Oh, okay. Well, then,
I mean, come on, not an animal.
Oh, sure.
You know? So if you're gonna do Thanksgiving leftovers next year, does that mean you're just gonna have dinner out of Tupperware?
That's with a poncho a poncho on that I can lick just what I've done and
lick
like
clean
hose
and throw
off
out.
With gravy.
Be wearing like a gray sweatshirt and jammy pants. Yeah,
right.
Come on in, everyone.
That's it. With a stuffing looking sweater.
Those yellow slicks.
Yeah, exactly. Like
always very
like the Gorton's. Fisherman.
Lobster.
There's an obscure reference, huh?
But I was so there with you.
Yeah, isn't Thanksgiving
trust
really
the
about those white Wonder Bread crust-trimmed sandwiches, you know, the next day? Don't you remember that as a kid?
I don't, but we have a place in New York, a chain called Lenny's, that does these sandwiches where they put turkey, it's turkey on a sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, and I eat that in the middle of summer.
Is
so
that
I'm
what they call a turkey sandwich?
I think so.
It's pretty quick with the reference.
Someone goes to the 5-star place. Well, you know, Cantor's Deli has... Don't
I'm
lose nothing
again.
In the jargon, Paolo.
Sorry, I just wanted to clarify.
No, there's stuffing and cranberry sauce on it besides the turkey.
With your highfalutin terms.
Lenny's.
Yes, Lenny's where the waitress has fresh stitches in her head.
Yes.
You know?
What the castaways of Lenny's.
Lenny actually parks cars
at
castaways. Thank you.
Steals the
trust
turkey
the
for
Gorton's fisherman. With Gorton's of Gluster.
Are
you were singing it earlier. Did
me?
You notice that we overlapped singing the jingle?
That was me.
Was that you? Okay.
Oh,
so I'm sorry.
Don't quote me on that.
You might mistake the singer here among us.
Oh, sure. You sang a little bit in your show. I actually saw the Sandaland Diaries this past week. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But you sang a little bit, didn't it?
He did.
I do. I do a little bit of singing, but I always try to make my characters bad singers so that I don't have to be on key.
Oh,
that's how
I've heard worse singers than you.
That's a safe approach.
That's how I roll.
Well, we're looking forward to talking to you about that, Paolo, but Eric is on a time constraint
because he has to talk to him.
I'm so busy, I don't even know what to do with myself. I have to go.
You should try to go to one of those places where they have a burger of ham. And then...
Well, I see. Okay. I see what this is going to be. That's good.
Yeah, there's a Scottish restaurant down the street, McDonald's.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, this is just like high school all over again.
Michael, would you please give Eric the intro he deserves?
Something here.
I'm nodding again.
Ladies and gentlemen, our first guest's recent credits include an appearance on ABC's Desperate Housewives and on stage in The Temperamentals at the Blank Theater in Hollywood. Speaking about his recent concert appearance at LA's Magic Castle last year, Don Grigware said of this young man, he is a dynamo who captivated the house from the moment he opened his mouth. Please welcome Eric Bergen.
Thank you. Oh, wow, that's Eric. That was like Oprah applause. Thank you.
You get a car.
Please sit down. Please sit down.
Everybody gets a car.
Everybody gets a car.
Eric.
Michael.
Hello. It's been a year. It's been since September.
Yeah, it really has. That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So you're here. You're happening. You're all over town.
I am happening. I am. I'm doing two shows right now. We're doing the this holiday party with Eric Bergen at the Coterie, which is
a new venue in town.
Fantastic new club at the Hollywood Renaissance Hotel.
The Hollywood Renaissance Hotel is at the Hollywood and Highland?
Yes.
It's a beautiful place, I hear.
It's beautiful, and there's been a great series of concerts there so far. And this month they've got James Barber, just great people all the time there. And we're doing a one-night-only benefit for Toys for Tots. Mm-hmm. So if you bring a toy, you get in for free.
Awesome.
Because I'm cheap like that. And otherwise it's, $10. And it's a great Christmas show for everyone. Michael Orland, the ubiquitous Michael Orland on the piano.
We love Michael Orland.
American Idol's Michael Orland.
That's right. That's right. Wow. Yes. Now playing for the mediocre talent of Eric Bergen. No. we just rehearsed it today. Lindsay Pierce, who's my Snow White in this other show I'm doing, is going to be guest singing with me, as well as a couple of other guest stars that are
surprises.
Guest stars. Surprises.
Oh, I like surprises.
I hear that Gwen Verdon is coming. I don't want to spread rumors, but I hear she's coming.
Yep. Well, oddly enough, we have Gwen right here.
Oh, here she is. Come on in.
Hello. Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here.
Someone give Gwen a lozenge.
Thanks, love.
Eric.
Yes.
Eric, having read the review and Don Grigore's review and your past cabaret shows that I've read about, I have not attended any.
In my
defense. But what makes the holiday show special? What have you taken that's been successful from your straight cabaret act and applied it to that? Are you going to do the Blow Me a Kiss song?
We actually, we're taking out Blow Me a Kiss for this set.
No,
it's just because we try to give it a break. We try to retire songs and then bring them back. They're like Christmas sweaters, really. And it's
gaudy and hot.
Yes, okay. And made of wool.
Okay.
But it's
stuffing on them.
It's a sort of an old-fashioned variety act. My feeling is we call it a holiday party because it really is a party. It's a party in someone's living room. Mm-hmm. It's not a very formal show. It really is just having a great time. Everyone's sort of in on the act. It's meant to feel as low-key as possible. My job when I do these club acts is to throw a party. If I'm responsible for the party being thrown, great, but the objective at the end is for people to have a good time and not remember why. Right. That's always been my objective in doing these shows. And we just actually rehearsed today, right before this, and it's going to be great. It's going to be great. I mean, Lindsay, who's singing with me, is such an incredible singer, so come for her alone. She's just great.
Well, and you are something else up there, too. You're the great showman up there and a wonderful singer on top of it. And
thank
we
you.
Actually have a little something.
Oh,
there, right?
Dear.
So we're going to,
we do
to
have
play
a little
from
something.
His CD.
Oh.
Yes.
We should play this clip. This is a track off of Eric's CD. It's called
Is Everything All Right?
Yesterday, for a minute, I got my mind off you. Then a song came on the radio. Guess this day's through. as once again you were in the air. A part of everything I see. A sign, a car, a place we used to go.
Awesome.
Nice. You'll have to buy it online to hear the chorus.
What's that?
You'll have to buy it later.
Yeah.
The
we're teasing the chorus on our outro. So
yeah.
Play the chorus.
Oh, good. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Come for the song, stay for the chorus. So, although.
Nice. Very nice, Eric.
Thanks.
And that's what you'll have an opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to hear if you go see him in concert, as we were just talking about. His appearance, A Holiday Party with Eric Bergen at the Coterie, which is at the Hollywood Renaissance Hotel, and that is coming up on Monday, December 5th.
Yeah, a week from today.
A week from today, and for it's a one-night event, so it also includes special appearances, as Eric said, from Lindsay Pierce, his co-star in A Snow White Christmas, which we're going to talk about in a moment. But
yes.
It's a benefit for Toys for Tots, so patrons who bring a new unwrapped toy to the Coterie on December 5th will gain admission to the showroom with no cover charge.
And they get a tot, right? You bring a toy, you get a tot?
You,
is that how that
works?
You
leave with a tot.
That's great.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, to purchase tickets, you simply go to Brown Picker.
Brown Picker?
Yes. I went to Brown Picker tickets, and I didn't care for that Toys for Tots show.
That was quite,
yes.
Actually, I'll make it really easy for you. If you go to thecoterielA.com,
all right.
It makes it even easier than
that's right.
That's right. That,
and
Coterie
is CoterieLA. And there's also a telephone number. Should we give them that?
Please.
Sure. It's 530-426-8374.
And that goes directly to my cell phone.
And that goes. So that's for the.
There is
that's
a service charge for that call.
Right.
That's for the hot. Well, that's what they're calling it now.
Right.
That's the holiday party, but for the. For the Snow White Panto thing, what's the title of that again?
A Snow White Christmas.
What are the odds? El Portal. What's that?
It's at the El Portal, but we haven't really talked about.
No, but we can tease it anyway.
Yeah, we can.
ElPortalTheater.com. Theater spelled R-E, but we will chat about that.
Tease it. Just give them half the phone number.
Because I also have, and I will tease it. There's the for discounts. The code word is. Okay, so that was another show.
That's right.
Tell us about this.
Oh, God, it's so much fun. It's a, you know, I just discovered what this thing was, Panto. You said you've seen them before in England.
Yes, British Panto, yes.
Right, which is this huge tradition in England where they get, they take some sort of fairy tale or traditional tale, and they get lots of big stars to do them in England.
Right.
And here as well, this, they're trying to bring it over here. This is the Lithgow family bringing it over. Bonnie Lithgow is the director, and her son wrote and produced this. And it is funny as all hell. It's Marina Sirtis from Star Trek. Lindsay Pierce, who we were talking about before from Glee.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Jonathan Mazza, David Figlioli. Just a great, great group of people. You know, topical humor, and it's very much interactive.
Call and response, cheering the hero, booing the villain.
Exactly. Yeah. And I have never in my life been anything, part of anything like this. Huh. I was not prepared for the audience to really be, you know, because they kept saying, you know, they might not go with you. You might have
right.
to get them to, well, we just did our first two previews yesterday, and we did not have to tell the audience how to do anything. They were right with us.
Yeah, the big mistake was people hear Panto and they think pantomime, but it could not be more vocal and energetic and out there. They're wonderful. There's a holiday tradition in Great Britain.
Yeah, it's Panto season out there. There's 500 Pantos in England this season, and I'm thrilled that they're bringing it here. I think it would be a great tradition to have in this country.
But only if they use Brown Pecker tickets, as they're... You know.
I think, honestly, the problem why it's not here yet is because celebrities in this country take themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the problem. I mean, there are, for any Trekkie out there, Marina is, you know, making Star Trek jokes the whole night.
Right.
You know, so we're in on the joke, too. It's
right.
It's a blast.
It's like British Music Hall.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, it's like our vaudeville would be.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's the story of Snow White.
It's the story of Snow White, set to sort of around Christmas time, but not really about Christmas.
And you are the prince.
I am the prince. I'm having a blast being the prince. It's fun not to play a... I don't know. I seem like I have a track record of my parts being certain things, and it's very nice to play the romantic lead for once, as opposed to like
what
the.
What do you normally play?
The old queen. No, no. Just
come on, you're not old.
No, just I don't know. It's been I've never really played a very princely part, you know, not since you know shows at theater camp or anything like that. And so this is really exciting. This is really fun. Really, really fun.
It's
great for the
really
families. This is something to bring your kids to during the holidays that's not, you know, $90, $100 a ticket.
But that being said, it also has broad appeal because even though the kids will enjoy it,
right.
It's not a children's show.
No, it's not like a Nickelodeon show.
Right,
no,
exactly.
No. It's the jokes are the ones that go over the kids' heads, go right into the adults' heads.
Right.
And we have plenty of stuff for the kids as well. They're screaming the whole show.
And Michael Orland, who you mentioned is your conductor.
Yes, we like to keep it all in the family.
Yes, he's also the musical conductor for Snow White Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we've got a great little three-piece band that is ready to go with any song that any of the audience members talk about. They're the human jukebox up there, so... We've really got a great group.
You've got the Lithgow family, which is very passionate about the arts.
They really are.
Nigel Lithgow from American Idol, and
yes.
So You Think You Can Dance.
Yes.
It's his lovely wife.
Yes.
It's my favorite show, I just want to say.
Oh. Well, Spencer Liff from So You Think You Can Dance was the choreographer on this.
And what happened to Mark Ballas?
Mark, from my understanding, was, I guess... booked on was booked on Dancing with the Stars, and I guess thought that he wasn't going to be able to do it after all when they really looked at the schedules, and then of course he got kicked off Dancing with the Stars and could have done it after all.
Yeah.
But Mark's great, but Spencer Liff was also fantastic.
Yeah,
and he put the show up in 3 days.
Yeah,
wow. Yeah, we learned the whole show in a week. Crazy.
Oh my god,
I don't know any of my lines still.
Well, you know, that's sort of your theme. no idea what I'm saying. No idea.
He's such a talented actor. I mean, you can, and as you said, ad-libbing is part of it.
Part of the show really is improv-ing and ad-libbing, especially when the audience, you cannot ignore the audience. You have to pay attention to them.
Yep.
And boy, they will get you. The audience will stump you if you're not on top of it.
Well, the other thing too, Eric, is the way you described your other event that you're doing, you're hosting a party. And that's the whole mindset of it. And that's what a panto is. It's just there's 20 hosts up there.
I mean,
just that has that frenetic energy. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Apple.
Awesome.
That's the code word. Apple.
Oh.
Yes.
You know why? Do you get it?
Yes.
See how we did that?
Mm-hmm. Because the whole Steve Jobs passing?
Yes, that's exactly why we did that. To honor Steve.
The box office at El Portal is 866-811-4111. That's 866-811-4111. Or you can purchase tickets online at El Portal Theater. Theater is the affected British spelling, R-E. ElPortalTheater.com. And as I said, $5 discounts available by mentioning the code word Apple.
Yeah.
So.
And one more little plug for his concert, ladies and gentlemen, at the Coterie at the Hollywood Renaissance Hotel, which is in the heart of Hollywood on Highland Avenue. And just simply go to thecoterieLA.com. for tickets, or call 530-426-8374. And then, of course, brown paper tickets is the other alternative.
Mm-hmm. Tickets are free. Come.
It's a week of Eric Bergen.
Well, as it should be.
Yeah.
Odd that you would have the T-shirt made, though. That's
I know.
Unusual.
I'm the only one that's wearing it. I have boxes of them at home.
And we know that you have another interview to go to. A bigger,
but this is so much fun.
Fish to fry.
No. They just want us on TV. Oh. So,
well,
you know.
That's important. From a producer of Fox, I'd say you best be there, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Eric, thank you so much for having
us. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Pleasure.
So delighted to have you with us.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
And we will do, as we say goodbye to Eric, we will do our arts calendar, and then we will talk to the lovely and talented Paolo, who is right here to my right.
Thank you.
Someone wake him up, would you?
Paolo,
here's a cookie. Give him a cookie.
Gwen Verdon, is that you?
Give him a Fig Newton. His blood sugar is plummeting. Our arts calendar, very, very briefly. Speaking of interactive comedy, Sister Bernie had the hottest bingo game in town until she discovers her bingo board is mysteriously broken. Never losing hope, she enlists Father Martini and Sister Charisse to help organize a traveling bingo game, and so begins this delightful disaster. Chicago's favorite nun comes to L.A. for 3 shows only, December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at 10:30 p.m., the Greenway Court Theater, that's 544 North Fairfax Avenue in Los Angeles. Tickets are available at plays411.com/bingobash or by calling 323-960-4443.
And for further information, ladies and gentlemen, about any productions and or events mentioned in today's State of the Arts Live Arts Calendar, visit us during this week at stateoftheartsla.com. We also suggest that you drop in at performingartslive.com, where you can search for Southern California events in several different categories happening every day of the week.
Now, Michael, before we chat with Paolo, you were once again the avid theater goer this past week.
I was, and I think I just handed you...
Yes, you did.
What I
Your
to...
notes?
Yes, my notes.
Yes, okay.
So,
and I have them at the ready.
The weekend began last Friday evening with an extravagant opening of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol at the beautiful 400-seat Glendale Center Theater in the Round. And known for being the oldest continuously running theater in the United States since 1947, the annual Glendale production of the holiday classic was chock full of spectacular special effects, gorgeous costumes, brilliant lighting, and an impeccably skilled cast who lifted the human spirit not only as actors, but soared with just the right dose of musical talent in the mix, which delivered another dimension of intrigue through original song and classic carols to further enhance the Dickens masterpiece. All 27 performances by the remarkably talented cast met every expectation one could hope for in the famous Dickens characters. So if you haven't seen this show before on stage, or even if you have, I assure you that the Glendale Center Theater's production will thrill and delight with an experience that begins from the moment you walk into the elegantly transformed holiday lobby. Unbelievable.
You said with there. The snow outside and everything?
Well, yeah. To the moment you leave and walk through an actual 30-minute snowfall in front of the theater.
Oh, my gosh.
Now on stage through December 24th, tickets to A Christmas Carol may be purchased by calling 818-244-8481 or visiting GlendaleCenterTheater.com.
Always love what they do there.
Yeah.
It's a great little theater.
Very special.
Yeah.
Now, also... on Saturday night, I went to see Mr. Andino and his fantastic show, which is coming up, and we'll talk about
Santa
that.
Land Diaries, yes.
Last night at my own place, Sterling's Upstairs at Vitello's in Studio City, former 2010 Pro-Am Ballroom Dance Champion Lynn Stanley made her debut last night at Sterling's Upstairs to an enthusiastic and wildly supportive audience. The vivacious Miss Stanley was charming, disarming, and captivating in her 70-minute set, directed by cabaret and Broadway star Sharon McKnight, with Emmy Award winner and Broadway star Karen Morrow serving as consultant. Backed by the engaging Mr. Bill Schneider and his trios, Miss Stanley's energy and genuine passion for the art took flight with the show's title song, Makin' Whoopee. Followed by such classics as Love Me or Leave Me, Buffy St. Marie's Until It's Time for You to Go, and a particularly emotional and touching rendition of Pieces of Dreams, which closed the evening and paid perfect homage to Stanley's charity of choice, Adolescence in Action, Substance Abuse and Education Foundation, which received partial proceeds from the event. For further information about Sterling's Upstairs at Vitello's, call 818-754-8700 or visit msapr.net.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
She was here as our guest before that. She was wonderful. What
yes.
a lovely lady she
yes,
is.
She was.
Not only a lovely to look at, but a lovely person to boot. Our next guest, speaking of lovely people to boot, our next
lovely
guest has appeared
at.
On such television shows as Law & Order, Law & Order SVU, Law & Order the Sequel, and Law & Order the Big Red Dog, Ed and All My Children. On stage, he has been seen in Anna in the Tropics, The 39 Steps, and The Food Chain, and is currently starring in David Sedaris's hilarious indictment of the holidays, The Santa Land Diaries for Hollywood's Blank Theater. Please welcome Paolo Andino. Paolo's here.
Oh, thank you. Oh no, please. Thanks.
Sorry.
Thank you.
I keep hitting that. I'm sorry.
Paolo,
something about you. You make me hit that button twice. And if you would stop it, because you're breaking my finger.
Oh, sorry.
And when you start pushing his button, you know.
Exactly.
Mine are pushed.
How are you?
I'm great.
Boy, that's got to be a blast of a role.
It really is. And just listening to you give that description of Christmas Carol, I'm like, that's exactly what my show is not.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You said that, my friend. Your show is, I'd never seen it before, Paul. You'd seen it, I think.
I have not seen Santa Land Diaries.
Oh,
I read it.
Okay.
And I'm a huge David Sedaris fan, so I know what it's about. And as a matter of fact, along those lines, Paolo, give the origin of this piece and how it came about in terms of, I mean, David Sedaris was actually an elf at Macy's, correct?
Yeah. So it's basically, it was adapted by Joe Mantello from David's short story, Santaland Diaries, which was in Holidays on Ice. And it was about his real life experience getting a job as an elf at Macy's Santaland. So that's kind of what we're doing. But, you know, a lot of people have done the show. And he's if people are really super fans of David, they'll know that he's on NPR and he's read it on there. And he's done it a few times. And a lot of people do the show with, you know, music stand and a stool and just sort of tell the story. Ours is not that. It's a full production. No, every single time I go into a character or describe a character, I'm doing the voice and the physicalization, and I was counting them the other day. There's a total of 44 different characters that I do.
And I'm looking at this article that Michael sent me earlier today, piece from LA Stage Alliance, and it's just one of the publicity stills, and it looks like a hybrid of like Cat in the Hat and The Grinch. I mean, just about, does that
yeah,
look like
I
that?
I think The Grinch is a great, great springboard for us.
Yeah.
Sort of very like that anti-Christmas.
Yeah.
I will tell you, and Paul's very familiar with something that I'm going to bring up here. I mean, one-man show like this, and I know that in the article it mentions 35 pages of dialogue, and you had a little bit of a road getting to this show, kind of a surprise out of left field for you, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I got a call on the 18th of October, and that they were offering it to me. Daniel Henning, the artistic director, had come to see sort of a street show that I do. It's called Accomplice New York, and it's a mix of scavenger hunt / theater tour kind of experience where you go along with friends and you're trying to figure out the story, and everywhere you go you meet an actor who sends you to the next clue. And I played this hotshot Hollywood producer. And I originated a couple of roles in New York, and when I moved here, I understudied the Hollywood producer, and he had come to see it on that day. And so when they were, I think that they had somebody in mind for the role, and then they lost him, and then when they were in that sort of scramble mode, Daniel was like, wait, what about this guy? And I remember him from the Big Sketch Show, and kind of tracked me down, and that's how it happened. And the next day I had a meeting with the director, Michael Matthews, who's amazing. And the 20th I was rehearsing.
Oh my God.
So I never auditioned. I knew of Santaland, but I hadn't read it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically.
Did you know of Sidaris's work?
I mean, I used to read Barrel Fever to my Hamlet cast. You know, when that first came out, the story of him dating Charlton Heston and Mike Tyson, I love that one. And I have all his books, but I, you know, for some reason, this Holidays on Ice sort of escaped me. Like, I have, you know, Dress Your Family in Corduroy, and I have Me Talk Pretty, and I have Barrel Fever and those, but I never read Holidays on Ice or Santaland Diaries.
They should always, they should do a reading of one of his stories. I think it's from Me Talk Pretty. Is Six to Eight Black Men. Men about Christmas in the Netherlands and what Santa's like there. And the title comes from that St. Nicholas travels with six to eight black men who were former slaves, but when the political climate changed in the 50s, it was decided they were just good friends. So that was the change it was made. But it's a great, great Christmas story, you know. But I'm surprised someone doesn't do that as a staged reading for the holiday, as part of a Christmas thing.
I mean, they could do that along with Santaland Diaries, because it's only an hour and 15, so that's
If
that's a cool 45 minutes, that would be a great first act.
Yeah. No, it'd be a good curtain warmer. It's like 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How you get through that, though, at your speed and the pace of the play is something else, man. And then one scene where you're reenacting the child's behavior. And
the tantrum? Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite parts.
God.
That's not written there. I just wanted to have a tantrum.
Well, I know.
Wouldn't it be funny if I have an actual tantrum?
No one would know. Yes. Oh, that's funny. Oh, I would love to see
Paul did a show that was a one-man amazing effort called Renaissance with a Geek originally, and then straight up with a twist. And he's done it, what have you done it, some 1,500 times?
About 1,400 times,
Wow.
Yeah. Over the course of 9 years, so it wasn't like it was, but it lasted a good time.
Not all at once.
But that's work.
Not back to back.
You guys know how it is.
So they shoot metrosexuals, don't they? Yes.
But that is that's work, you guys.
I mean,
that's a lot of work.
I tell you,
but
you know what it does? And I don't know if Paolo will attest to this too, but
I won't.
Okay, just read from the cards, would you? Read from the
it
cards.
It doesn't say here attest to this.
It makes you like 6'10 and bulletproof though. When you do a one person show and then you go to do another play, it's just like, wait a minute, there's other people up there with me? This is cake.
Get out of my way.
You just you get great bravado. You get lion-hearted from doing it, I think.
Is this something that you had ever anticipated wanting to do something of this nature before? I mean, you've had a life in theater, certainly, but you've also had a great life on television where your skills and your improvisational skills and your comedic timing and that sense that is so precious to television to be funny...
Yeah.
You do so well.
I did. I actually had just sort of put out to the universe, just before I got this, I'd said, what I would really like is something that really uses all of my talents and all of my skill, mm-hmm. you know, with the improv and the way that I love an audience and I love to play off an audience. And just, I love movement and I love doing characters and voices and things like that. And literally a couple of days later, this thing came along.
Oh.
So it was amazing, and it really does. I feel so stretched and in great ways. And
well, you know,
challenged.
And it's true. That's happened to me a couple of times too. The minute you start thinking that way and you put it out there, even if you don't say it verbally, you just sort of feel it and put that energy forward. And something happens like this. It's like, it's connected in some way.
Did you ever have a chance to see Paolo's work on the Big Gay Sketch Show?
I have not. I just read about it today.
Stunning.
But
I'm really funny stuff. Oh, I mean, the character at the airport, what's that character?
Yeah, yeah, Naldo.
Oh,
yeah,
my gosh. That's...
he's a guy who liked to... people came to deliver boxes, and he would get very physical with the box, just as he was moving it from here to there. It was a very simple sketch,
you know, he's a good-looking man on top of it, so that's what they were lining up to see that.
Me to Castaway.
And wearing what I think shorts that were pretty short.
Short.
Everything was pretty short. It was my shirt was actually. Parted open and then taped down in a V form so that it was like nice and, you know, hairy chested. And
Very funny stuff.
Very have to look for that. Stuff. We should talk about how people can attend Santaland Diaries. This is playing Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 2, through December 18th only. And tickets may be purchased by visiting theblank.com. That's theblank.com, or by calling 323-661-9827. And The Blank is playing at the Stella Adler Theater. Is that their new home?
No, that's just where they're doing this.
They do special events there.
Yeah, because I've seen a number of things there that the Blank has produced. And, of course, the Stella Adler is at 6773 Hollywood Boulevard, just a stone's throw from where our first guest will be performing.
I know.
That's
it's
right.
It's actually
Hollywood
the same corner, basically.
Yeah.
We're on Hollywood and Highland as well.
And folks, you should know that parking, which is tough in that area, but there is a great opportunity to park at the Highland Hollywood Center parking. Am I saying it right? Highland Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that parking.
Hollywood
structure.
And Highland, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that big parking structure, and you just walk right across the street to the Stella Adler, and you're
oh,
there.
Right, and you can get your ticket...
You get it validated, you get some money off, right? Yeah. Is that where you have to park?
And a good show.
And a good show. And you can, and if you're in the mood, you can take a little stroll down the street and hit Musso and Frank's for the best martini in town.
That's right.
Yeah.
How much would that martini cost?
I don't know. I haven't been there in a while. Last time I was there, you know, Christ was an altar boy. So,
it's the spirit of Christmas. He brings it down.
I'm all a tither. I don't think it's unusual. I mean, the thing about Musso and Frank's, I'm not a big fan of the Musso and Frank's food.
Right.
Because I think it's sort of like just a little, everything is cooked about 4 minutes too long, you know? It's sort of like I still have teeth, and I'd like a little bit of an al dente thing to the string beans rather than just the canned feel. But the martinis and the Manhattans are out of this world. I mean, with the little extra martini on the side and the little cruet that they keep on the ice.
Do you like dirty martinis? Do you drink martinis?
I'm not a big martini. I like them like ginger, fruity, scotch kind of drinks.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I went to a place called The Corner. I went to a place called The Corner that had this amazing drink. Was Scott's Pear.
Yeah.
And it's blended scotch with ginger syrup, lemon, and a little pear juice.
Delicious. Oh, wow.
I had like four of them in 5 minutes.
Really?
It's like juice.
Well, we scoop you
I
up.
I can't get another one of these juices. I love the pear juices.
Then I go over and have the mushy string beans because that's all I can
and
manage.
Well, because you can't work a fork.
Exactly.
So you just bob like a thermometer duck.
After a few of those Manhattans, all you can do is mush the string beans.
Like soup. There was a place Monica and I went. They did this best thing you ever ate. You know, on the Food Network, they have best thing you ever ate.
Oh, I love that, yeah.
And they had, it was a cocktail, and it was a pumpkin Manhattan, and it was like a cinnamon spiced pumpkin Manhattan thing that some bar in San Diego had. Wow, was it good. But just like that, like a cidery, quaffable thing.
Yeah, I love that. Best thing you ever ate. You know, I drove from New York to L.A. In late April when I moved here, and that was one of the websites that I would go to all the time just along the way.
What a great idea. Yeah. I would do that.
Yeah.
I would drive to Palm Springs to get the vanilla date shake at Hadley's food stand.
Yeah.
Have you had it?
Yes, I have.
Oh my God.
Yes, I have.
Have you been out that way yet?
No.
Yeah. Palm
no.
Springs.
It's at the Morongo exit where the Morongo Casino is. Right next to it is Hadley's fruit stand, and they do a date shake, with vanilla shake with the fresh pureed dates that they. And it sounds like a little odd, but it's just got this nutty flavor to it. It's out of this world.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's stop talking about it because I'm salivating.
Yeah.
It's making the microphone.
You know what I wanted
spark.
To ask you about, Paulo, is you had a lot of time on television, you know, especially the soaps.
Mm-hmm.
All in New York, right?
Yeah, coincidentally, my character, David Sedaris / Crumpet the Elf, is very obsessed with One Life to Live.
Right.
And I actually had a recurring role in One Life to Live as Dr. Harrison. And I heard you talking earlier about like disastrous...
yes, do tell.
Disastrous events when I was... The first time I operated on Jess, whose alter ego Tess had gotten her hepatitis C. And it's funny because her mother is the one that I talk about, Vicky and Nikki. Those were her alter personalities in the
Does
play.
Does it always have to rhyme? Is it always ever to not
daytime.
Throw the actress?
It's daytime. They gotta keep it
These
simple.
Are working mothers. They're changing diapers and watching. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So... Anyway, what happened was I came in to do a liver transplant. The actor who was giving her a piece of the liver was her ex-husband, who in real life had a shoulder surgery. So everyone was like really light around him and just like be very careful, very ginger. So I was like, okay. So then they have those people that like a nurse from a real hospital to tell the actors how this is going to go down.
Consultant,
thank you. So she was consulting and telling me, well, this is how you would do it. Well, you'd never have the person with hepatitis in the same operating room with the person who doesn't. And they're like, well, it's TV. We're going to do it anyway. I'm like, all right. He would definitely have to like take off his bloody gloves, you know, before he goes over and change his smock and then put the new smock on, put new gloves on, and then, you know, get into the body of the other person, right? And they have like these plastic things with like the fake, you know, that I would open up this fake skin with the blood and everything. It was like an episode of ER on One Life to Live. It was very creepy. Anyway, we rehearsed the whole thing with the nurse and everything, but there's like such tension because this guy has a real shoulder surgery and they don't want anybody touching them. There was a lot of extras and stuff running around. So they say action. And I'm waiting for the nurse to come over and help me take off the smock and put on the gloves and all that. And she doesn't do it. She just goes over there and they don't say cut. And I'm looking up like at all the people on the other side, you know, of the little operating room. And I'm like, okay, well, so I just go to her and I start sticking my finger. I'm like, well, bloody fingers in her, you know, now everybody's got hepatitis C, you know. And I just became so nervous that I couldn't say my line. And it just came out all muddled and terrible. And I thought, oh, for sure they're going to cut and do this again because it wasn't my fault. The nurse never came over. And they didn't cut. They didn't do it again.
Oh.
And when I saw the episode, they never, because I was so stunned and terrified and nervous, they never showed my face. So the whole scene is on the girl who is comatose, you know, not comatose, but she's like under.
Right.
The whole scene is playing with her on the screen. I'm like, wow.
How
I really screwed that up.
How good was my performance? They opted for the B-roll of the comatose person.
Exactly. That is so perfect, and that is the way exactly how I should say it. They opted for the B-roll of the comatose patient.
Yeah, that was me.
Live but guess what? TV. The hospital blew up. And
what a surprise.
Yeah, and then she had to be operated by her boyfriend. And anyway, I lived and came back to operate again.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
I guess it wasn't.
And it must have been.
So
I was waiting for you teasing this whole thing about the guy's shoulder. I thought for sure you were just going to get nervous and just like
and
punch
hit him or something.
Right?
No, thank God. No, yeah. It wasn't about him. It was. But, you know.
It just raised the anxiety level of the whole afternoon.
I mean, anybody who knows anything about. Well, operating. Can see that I gave him hepatitis.
Oh, God.
My mother worked in an emergency room for
Did
years.
Did she really?
Try getting the car as a teenager when your mother works in the emergency room. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
you'll never get the keys to the car.
No.
They see.
Especially not on prom night, huh?
Exactly.
Good Lord. Well, once again, ladies and gentlemen, before we wrap up here, we've got a few minutes, though, but you need to go see the Santa Land Diaries at the Stella Adler Theater in Hollywood. And for one reason, if the only reason, Paolo and Dino starring in this amazing comedy. And it is easy to see. It is playing on stage through December 18th. Tickets are a mere $30. Can't beat that. It may be purchased by visiting theblank.com or by calling 323-661-9827.
And there's also, I want to mention too, that's a great piece you wrote, Paolo, for the LA Stage Alliance, the Surfs Up for Sandland Diaries.
Oh,
it's a good thing. So if you're at lastagealliance.com, take a look at that, Paolo. They have a feature there. I've written a couple of things for their first person section.
Yeah,
and,
he has.
Take a look at Paolo Andino's piece, Surfs Up for Sandland Diaries, in the first person section. I like that section. It's always kind of intriguing.
It's lovely.
To get a peek backstage.
What's up next for you?
Up next, I'm going home for Christmas.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Back to the cold streets of New York.
No, I'm going to Miami. My family lives in Miami.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, that's
yeah.
right.
I owe them some time there because we had a Thanksgiving Disney World trip planned, which I bagged out on to do this. Yeah. So.
Because you're a hateful
and
son.
I got some making up to do.
Large family?
Yeah, we have a pretty large family. Yeah, growing more and more. My sister just had a baby, little Hunter Albury.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have one brother and two sisters, and my two sisters have three kids between them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
A lot of cousins, a lot of extended.
Are most of them still there?
Most of them, yeah. I have a brother that lives out here in Santa Monica and never leaves. And I have a cousin that.
Funny how that works when you move to Los Angeles, right?
Oh my God, I call it a bedroom community. Everybody's always like doing yoga, going to Starbucks, and
yeah.
And they're asleep at 6.
If you drive around LA, you would think that no one actually ever had a day job. The cafes and the Starbucks are just full, and it's just what do you people do for money? You know.
Well, they're all actors out here.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
I think
good amount of them. It was a pleasure talking to
Absolutely.
You. Great having
Thank
you.
Thank you. It was great being here.
And we did sort of cheat Eric with cutting his song off.
I was going to say, maybe
right
we should give him a little more playoff time.
Right before the chorus. So we'll let Eric play us off the air today with his track, Is Everything All Right?
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paolo.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we will see you all next week.
Absolutely. Where you are tonight.
Truth remains my enemy. I miss your sweet caress.
Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley, right here on LA